Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. We're looking forward to Don and Julie Palmer joining us, and they wanted prayer as they are taking off today, I think, as soon as we pray for them, as I understand, for Blackburn, Virginia. It's a little town in the western part of Virginia where Virginia Tech is. It's a college town, to plant a church there, so we want to keep them in prayer. We want to pray for them as they leave. In the meantime, we will begin, and we are going to be in Numbers 11 again today, and if you look in your notes just a moment, you will see where we are. Last week, we were at Taberah, where the children of Israel were complaining, and we had the fire break out, and now they move on up a little bit more, looks like about another 10 miles, to Kibroth Hattaavah. And that's where they lusted for meat, and so the Lord sent them quail. So that puts the geography a little bit in perspective, and now we'll just focus on what's this all about. Let's begin by just praising the Lord with At Your Name. Let's sing along with Phil Wickham here, if you would. The words are right on the top upper portion of the first page, At Your Name.
Lord of all the earth, we shout.
into that, huh? Amen. Amen to the precious name of Jehovah. Amen to the precious name of God the Son. And amen to the precious name of God the Holy Spirit. Well, today we continue on through the prayers in the Bible, and we are in chapter 11 once again. So last week we were at the people complaining at Taberah, where the fire broke out and started to consume some on the outside of the camp. And then Moses prayed, and the fire was extinguished. Now we have another now in verse 4. Now the mixed multitude. And as I was mentioning a little earlier, the mixed multitude is always the problem. And the mixed multitude would have had good reason in a way to miss the garlics and the leeks, because the mixed multitude, many of them probably weren't even slaves, so they probably had a little better food and maybe a little, you know, but whatever. That's not the point. You're always going to have the mixed multitude complaining and going in opposite direction. The church is full of them. They want to come to the dinners. They don't want to come to the prayer meetings. They want to come and have fun. They don't want to come and serve, right? And they want to, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And if I don't like something about it, I'm out of there, kind of a thing. But the problem we have here, they yield to intense lust. But then it says, so the children of Israel, now the children of Israel join the mixed multitude. And they wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Now in Exodus 16, we had the introduction of manna. It was around the 15th day of the second month of the first year. So they'd been out about 5-6 weeks, and then manna began. Now we are in, when we started with the march here in just the last chapter, in verse 11, it was the 20th day of the second month in the second year. So they've been eating manna for about a year. Now, if you just picture the wilderness march for a minute, it's not really in a way so terribly unreasonable for them to complain. Can you imagine being out in the sand and in the heat of the day and in the cold of the night? No bathroom facilities, no running water, no electricity. Having probably as many as several thousand people a day dying. Maybe they hadn't all started to die yet right at this point, but they will, because we're going to have about 1.2 million or so dying in the next 40 years. So you do the math. That's a lot of people every day dying. So they would have had to be buried. Can you imagine the sanitation? 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people going outside with their little shovels. That's a lot of shoveling, right? And here you are. And because of their unbelief, they're going to be in this road for 40 years. But they've only been on it a year. And they're missing the good old days, right, as we tend to do. So we can understand the mixed multitude, I think, complaining. But the children of Israel are a little different thing, because the children of Israel have been promised such great things by the Lord. And he's been showing them miracle after miracle after miracle. It's estimated that the daily tonnage of manna is 9 tons a day. 9 tons a day of food that God is going to give them. But notice another thing. If you were in their shoes every morning, at or before sunup, you had to go out and get your food 6 days a week, no exception. And you had to get it before it melted from the sun, so you couldn't sleep in. I was just remembering my days on the farm. We had to milk those cows every morning. Even when it was 20 below or storms and whatever, you still had to milk the cows. You still had to get up. But here they are in the desert having to get up every morning and get their food. Now, praise God, he provided food, but still they had to get up. And the clothes, you didn't have to pick out which of your wardrobe you wanted to wear. You just wore the same thing every day, right? And God mercifully kept it from wearing out. So it's a tough situation compared to anything we could ever imagine, isn't it? What they were going through. And so they were complaining about manna, and they were crying then. And then in verse 10, we read, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. The Lord does not like complaining. And we mentioned last week, complaining always has an element of coming against, Lord, what you're doing to me is not fair. What you're doing to me is not right. What you're doing to me is not the way I would do it. I'm being taken advantage of, Lord. You're treating me worse than anybody else. That's kind of what the complaining has in it. It says, Moses also was displeased. Now here's the prayer. So Moses said to the Lord, it's not really a nice prayer. We got a series of five, six questions here. Moses is saying, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore in their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these things, all these people alone, because the burden is too great, too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. Well, what can you and I learn from that? Well, quite a number of things, can't we? First of all, we see Moses, on one hand, minimizing what God has anointed him to do, saying, this task is too great. I can't do it, God. It's way too great for me. The task you gave me is too great. On the other hand, he is trying to do too much of it himself. God is not saying, Moses, you have the responsibility of feeding $3 million people meat. God didn't say you provide the meat, Moses. But he, of course, is saying, where am I going to get the meat? And that's a lot of meat for 3 million people or 2 million people. You pick the number, isn't it? But how about you? When you get all burdened down, I would suggest probably you're taking too much on yourself. God doesn't want you burdened down. He doesn't want you looking at things that it's all depending on you, because it's not. Nothing really is depending on you other than you going through what he's leading you to do. So Moses kind of blows it here in a way, and he gets really angry because of their complaining, and he starts to complain himself. Why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight? Why have you laid the burden of all these people on me? Now, really, all of those three questions are not really fair questions, are they? But how we would ask those same ones, wouldn't we? And then he says, you know, I didn't conceive them. I didn't beget them. Why should I have to carry them? Now, when you see people around you that are in great need, you know, and maybe they kind of bother you for a long period of time, and you kind of feel like telling the Lord, you know, I didn't bear these people. I didn't bring these people. Why are they always bugging me, you know? And it's easy for us to say that, isn't it? But we see that Moses has a position that God is going to anoint him in that he's to do, and he's complaining about it. And then he says on verse 13, where am I to get meat to give to all these people? So he's now taking more on himself than God is asking him to do. So we want to be sure we are relying on him and not trying to do it all in our own strength. You hear about burnout, that's always when people are trying to do it on their own strength. Because you're going to burn out. You don't have any strength. And God's not going to let you to succeed at anything anyway in your own strength. He's only going to bless what he gives you to do and your obedience in doing it. And he says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Well, I don't think the Lord is asking him to bear all the people burden alone. And then he goes through even the last state, oh, just kill me. This is so bad, just kill me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. So that's kind of the ultimate in rejection. Lord, I really don't like the hand you've dealt me. I'm just going to take my own life. I don't want to live for what you've gotten me into. That's really what he's saying. Now the Lord in verse 16 does give him 70 men, and he pours the Spirit out upon them. And then he says, consecrate for yourself, so you shall have meat. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat, not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, but 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils, becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And so then Moses again complains, where am I going to get the meat? And in verse 23, the Lord says to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? That's always a good question, isn't it? When you start to complain, you start to complain about all the darkness in the world, about all of the, who can make war against the beast kind of ideas. Don't forget the strength of the arm of the Lord. Don't forget the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Moses goes out and tells the people, he gathers the 70 elders, and the Lord came down in the cloud, spoke to him, and took of the Spirit was on him, placed it on the same elders, and so forth. And then a couple of guys were prophesying in the camp, and Moses said, no, don't wipe them out. Oh, that all of the Lord's people were prophets. And then we have the Lord sending the quail. And of course, then we have that them getting sick of it, and that they call that Kibroth Hataavah, which is the graves of the craving. So we now have graves in the wilderness because of their craving over lusting. And so we need to watch our lusting for the worldly things. We need to make sure we're being obedient to what the Lord has for us to do, not to take more on ourselves than he's giving us, but not to underestimate his power in enabling what needs to be done, what he wants to be done, to be done. So this morning we have the opportunity of praying. So we're going to pray for a little while, as is our custom, in a group, and pray loudly. Not that the Lord is deaf, he can hear you even if you whisper, but we can hear each other and agree on your prayers. Keep them short. We don't have a lot of time, and if you take all the time up, then you are kind of monopolizing the time. We don't need that. The Spirit's leading us usually very short, and don't deviate after the Spirit's giving you something to pray about. And then we'll break into groups of two the last several minutes of the hour, and everybody can pray half the time then. So let us pray.